Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts. Here's Daniel's prompt.
Hi there, Herman and Quorin. I would love to run a question by you, and this is not really a question with a precise or easy answer so much as it is me brainstorming with the two of you, albeit through this async mechanism of a podcast. So throughout the course of 2025 and with AI advancing, there's just the amount of potential use cases for AI is kind of flabbergasting or breathtaking, especially as new modalities come to maturity and become more affordable and more practical. The kind of all the different ways in which these new things are possible becomes the pace of innovation becomes very quick. So we're seeing things like vibe coding, and it's very easy now. Google brought out a great product in AI Studio, a builder utility where you can kind of just define, I want this, and anything that can work with Gemini, which is a lot when you consider that it's a multimodal model that can not only accept inputs in text, video, still images, audio, I think that's it, but it can also output in them. So when you put those two things together, you know, I'm sure you can calculate the permutations possible, but you can say, wait, I can create an app that I can dictate my what I did this week, and it'll create a timesheet. Amazing tool for contractors. I'll create a, what about, here's one of my apps that actually has been very successful. I want an app where I'll take photographs of my whiteboard at the start of the day, and it'll give me a to-do list. So, you know, we're using image processing, generating text, and saving it to Google Drive. So when you add that last layer to the picture of MCP and actions, then you really begin to kind of explode with possibilities of what AI can do. So the kind of process that I've adopted over the past year is I kind of create a lot of what I would describe as first entry tools or experiments. And from that long list, I inevitably end up with a much smaller tool of utilities that I actually integrate into my daily workflow. I'm particularly fond of voice stuff, as you know. So a lot of those utilities where instead of, you can do like a voice to agenda tool you'll dictate what you want to achieve in a meeting. Sometimes it's really hard to kind of put together an agenda just with bullet points and ordering. And that to me is an app that works really well with the way that I work. And I can just describe what I actually want to achieve for this. And it's kind of a way of writing better agendas, having better meetings, and having less unnecessary meetings. You could even add a step there where the AI gives you its honest opinion. Is this a worthwhile use for a meeting, or could this be done more effectively through another means? But let me move on to the point of this question. I feel at the moment that there's a plurality of ways for us to create and experiment with and vibe code. That's not the problem. What's becoming the problem is finding ways to consolidate these tools into a orderly work environment. It's kind of like showing up to the door, showing up to someone's house as an electrician, where instead of a toolbox, you're just kind of throwing in your screwdrivers to their living room. Sorry for that horrible and nonsensical example, but you know what I mean. So what I've kind of gotten looking for and really haven't had much success with is finding that utility that provides the flexibility of, you know, being able to use a model, doesn't lock you down into a really, really restricted vendor ecosystem. And I think that that's the pain point at the moment. It's either you create these yourself, you can use vibe coding or not, you can create a lot of starter apps. And that's a very liberating and free way to do it because no one's going to be gating your subscription. But then you're kind of left scratching your head for how do I put together all these Streamlit apps and Gradio interfaces and chatbots built with React? How do I make this into an actual homogenous a workspace tool that actually makes sense to the user? Much like when you go to Google Workspace, someone's put a lot of thought into what tools are the most important ones and how to batch them up. And I feel like that's missing that kind of framework. I guess it's a meta framework. It's a sitting above a framework, sharing environment variables maybe so that you don't need, so that you can configure these more easily, adding UI elements like a menu that isn't low code, because you get locked into very limited low code bakers, that isn't SaaS, because they tend to say things like pay us $50 a month, but you can only create 3 assistants or agents. And that creates a really frustrating artificial cap on what you can do. And but actually provides a good solution to providing, as I say, that kind of toolbox for generative AI. And I see this as I won't use the word problem, but it's a need that straddles both personal and professional. I've been for a while trying to find the perfect movie recommendation app without much success. But there's a few things that in my personal life I'd love to have. And in my work life, I definitely have a few utilities that would be brilliant. And I'm just trying to think of ways to kind of, as I say, get a tool box around the tools. What are your thoughts, Herman and Corin? I know that was a bit wide today, but I'd love to get your thoughts on what you're seeing companies do, if any specific frameworks you can recommend for gathering together and bringing order to the sprawl of AI tools in 2026.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to My Weird Prompts. We are sitting here in a surprisingly chilly Jerusalem morning, and honestly, the coffee is the only thing keeping me upright today. I am Corn, and as always, I am joined by my brother and resident deep diver.
Herman Poppleberry, present and accounted for. And Corn, you are right about the coffee, but this prompt from our housemate Daniel is giving me a bigger jolt than the caffeine. Daniel was talking to us this morning about the sheer sprawl of AI tools we have all been building lately. It is a real 2026 problem, is it not?
It really is. Daniel sent us this thought about how easy it has become to create what he calls first entry tools. You know, those little specialized apps for one specific task, like his whiteboard to-do list tool, or a voice to agenda generator. But the friction comes when you realize you have 50 of these things scattered across different tabs, different local servers, and different application program interface.
Exactly. We have moved past the era of waiting for big tech companies to build the features we want. With vibe coding being the norm now, we are all just manifesting the tools we need into existence. But now we are facing the hangover of that productivity. We have the tools, but we do not have the toolbox. Daniel wants to know how we can bring order to this sprawl without getting locked into a restrictive ecosystem or hitting those annoying software as a service caps that feel so 2024.
I love that analogy of the toolbox. It is like being an electrician who has 1,000 high-end screwdrivers, but they are all lying loose in the back of a truck. You spend more time looking for the right one than actually turning screws. So, Herman, let's really get into the weeds here. Why is this consolidation so difficult right now, even with all the advancements we have seen in the last year?
Well, Corin, I think it comes down to the lack of a shared tissue between these tools. When Daniel builds a Streamlit app for his whiteboard photos and a separate Python script for his voice notes, they are isolated islands. They do not share environment variables, they do not have a unified authentication layer, and they certainly do not have a unified authentication layer, and they certainly do not share context. If I tell my voice agenda tool that I am busy on Tuesday, my whiteboarder will have...
Right, and that is where the meta framework idea comes in. We need something that sits above the individual tools. Remember back in episode 278 when we talked about optimizing for AI bots? We touched on this idea that the interface is becoming secondary to the data flow. But for a human user, the interface still matters for that sense of a cohesive work environment.
It really does. And the challenge Daniel mentioned about vendor lock-in is huge. If you go all in on a specific provider's ecosystem, you are at the mercy of their pricing and their model updates. In early 2026, we are seeing a lot of people wanting to run local first, or at least hybrid setups. They want the power of a model like Gemini or GPT-5 for the heavy lifting, but they want the orchestration to be local and private.
So, if we are looking for a meta framework, what are the actual candidates? I have been seeing a lot of talk about Model Context Protocol, or MCP, lately. Does that play into this?
Oh, absolutely. MCP is becoming the backbone of this whole movement. For those who might have missed the recent developments, Model Context Protocol is essentially a standard that allows AI models to connect to data sources and tools in a consistent way. Instead of every developer writing a custom connector for Google Drive or a local database, you just use an MCP server.
So, in Daniel's case, if his whiteboard tool and his agenda tool both spoke MCP, they could theoretically pull from the same context.
Precisely. You could have a central context server that holds your project details, your schedule, and your preferences. Then, every small tool you vibe code into existence just plugs into that server. It solves the shared environment variable problem and the data silo problem in one go. But we still have the UI issue. How do you put a pretty face on 50 different scripts?
That is the part that fascinates me. We are seeing this shift toward what people are calling generative user interfaces. Instead of a static dashboard like Google Workspace, imagine a workspace that reconfigures itself based on what you are doing. If you pick up a stylus, the whiteboard tools move to the front. If you start a voice memo, the transcription and agenda tools pop up.
I love that. It is almost like the operating system itself becomes the meta framework. There are some open source projects making waves right now that are trying to be the Linux of AI workspaces. They provide a shell that can host these disparate tools. You just drop in your code and the framework handles the sidebar, the search, and the shared secrets.
But wait, Herman, does that not just create another layer of complexity? Now I am not just managing 50 tools, I am managing the framework that manages the 50 tools. Is there a way to keep it lightweight?
That is the million-dollar question. The goal is to avoid what I call the framework trap, where you spend more time configuring the environment than doing the work. The solution might be in these new, local-first, containerized environments. Think of it like a personal cloud that runs on your machine, or a small home server. It uses something like Docker but optimized for AI workloads, where each tool is a tiny, isolated container that talks to a central orchestrator.
That makes sense. It reminds me of how we talked about residential networking in episode 276. You need that infrastructure at home to support these local-first tools if you want to avoid those SaaS caps Daniel was worried about. If you are running the orchestration locally, you are only paying for the raw tokens from the model providers, or better yet, running smaller models locally for the simple tasks.
Exactly. You use a small fast model for the first entry tasks, like parsing a to-do list, and you only call out to the big multimodal models when you need deep reasoning. That is how you beat the artificial caps. But let us take a quick break here, because I think I hear Larry warming up his vocal cords in the other room.
Oh boy, let us see what Larry has for us today.
Are you tired of your digital life feeling like a disorganized pile of binary garbage? Do you Wes Finkenestand Synchronicizer? This revolutionary USB peripheral converts your folder structures into artisanal fragrances. Is your desktop a mess? It will smell like wet dog and old gym socks. But organize those files, and suddenly your office is filled with the aroma of fresh lavender and success. The DataSense Srinichizer, Yule Factory Dendren, Yunes. Now?
Thanks, Larry. I think I will stick to my coffee for now. I am not sure I want to know what my download folder smells like.
It would probably smell like a digital graveyard, Corn. Anyway, back to Daniel's sprawl problem. We were talking about the meta framework and the UI. One thing I wanted to bring up is the idea of the unified canvas.
The unified canvas? Tell me more about that.
So, instead of having separate apps, imagine one infinite digital space where you can just drop things. You drop a photo of your whiteboard, and the AI just lives on the canvas with you. You tell it to turn that into an agenda, and the agenda appears right next to the photo. Then you can drag that agenda into a calendar widget. It is less about opening an app and more about interacting with objects in a shared space.
That sounds a lot more natural. It is almost like a return to the desktop metaphor, but without the constraints of windows and folders. But how do we build that without getting locked into a big ecosystem? If I use a Canvas tool from a major provider, I am right back to where I started.
That is where the open source community is really stepping up in 2026. We are seeing these modular Canvas frameworks where the canvas itself is just a renderer. You can plug in any model, any tool, and any data source. It is all based on open standards. So if you vibe code a new tool, you just give it a manifest file that tells the canvas how to display it.
I see. So the manifest file would define things like, this tool takes an image as input and produces a text list as output, and the canvas knows how to handle those data types.
Exactly. And because it is all local first, your environment variables and API keys stay in your encrypted local vault. The canvas just asks the vault for permission when it needs to make a call. This solves Daniel's concern about shared environment variables without exposing them to every random script he writes.
This feels like we are moving toward a personal AI operating system, not an OS that replaces Windows or Mac OS, but one that sits on top of them specifically for cognitive tasks.
That is a great way to put it. A cognitive operating system. And the beauty of it is that it can be as messy or as organized as you want. If Daniel wants to keep creating these little first entry tools, he can. The framework just provides the plumbing to make them work together.
I want to push back a little on the vibe coding aspect. If it is so easy to create these tools, do we not run the risk of just creating more noise? Like, do I really need a separate tool for every tiny variation of a task?
That is a fair point, but I think the ease of creation is actually the solution to the noise. In the past, you had to live with a tool that was 80% of what you needed because building the other 20% was too hard. Now, you can build exactly what you need for that specific moment. The Meta framework's job is to let those tools be ephemeral. You use it, it does the job, and then it recedes into the background.
So, it is less like a toolbox and more like a replicator from Star Trek. You manifest the tool you need, use it, and then it goes back into the energy pattern buffer.
I love that! Yes, the pattern buffer is the meta framework. It holds the logic and the context, but the physical manifestation of the tool only exists when you need it.
Okay, so let us get practical for a second. If Daniel wants to start consolidating his sprawl today in January 2026, what should he actually do? What are the first steps toward building this toolbox?
First step, without a doubt, is to look into Model Context Protocol. If he starts building his tools with MCP in mind, he is future-proofing them. He should set up a local MCP server that handles his core data, his calendar, his task lists, his project notes.
Okay, step one, MCP for the data layer. What about the UI?
For the UI, I would recommend he look at some of the emerging open source AI dashboards. There are projects like Open Workspace or Libre Canvas that are designed specifically to be these meta frameworks. They allow you to register local scripts as tools, so he can keep his Python and Streamlit scripts, but instead of running them in 50 tabs, he registers them in the dashboard.
And what about the SaaS caps? How does he manage the cost and the limits?
He needs an orchestration layer that supports model routing. This is a big thing this year. You use a tool that automatically sends symbol requests to a local model, like Llama 3 or a small Mistral variant, and only routes the complex multimodal stuff to the expensive models like Gemini 1.5 Pro or GPT-5. There are local gateways you can run that handle this routing automatically based on the task description.
That is smart. So he is not wasting his high-end tokens on a simple voice transcription that a local model could handle perfectly well.
Exactly. It is all about being a smart consumer of intelligence. We are in an era where intelligence is a commodity, but like any commodity, you have to manage your supply chain.
It is fascinating to think about how much has changed. Remember episode 212 when we were talking about AI benchmarks? Back then, we were just worried about which model was smarter. Now, we are worried about how to build a cohesive life around all these different intelligences.
It is a much better problem to have, honestly. We have the raw power, now we just need the architecture. And I think Daniel is right on the money by looking for that meta framework. The sprawl is a sign of a healthy creative ecosystem, but the consolidation is what leads to true productivity.
I am Basini Stiloth. More people moving toward these personalized, local-first environments this year. The era of the monolithic SaaS app is not over, but for power users like us and Daniel, it is definitely losing its luster.
Well, I for one am excited to see what Daniel builds next. If he gets that whiteboard to agenda flow working perfectly within a unified canvas, I am definitely going to be stealing that setup.
You and me both. I think that covers a lot of ground on this one. It is a complex topic, but I feel like we have a good roadmap for bringing order to the AI chaos.
Definitely. It is all about the plumbing, Korn. It is not glamorous, but it is what makes the house stand up.
To that. Well, before we wrap up, I want to say a big thanks to Daniel for sending this in. It really got our gears turning this morning. And to all of you listening, if you are finding yourself in the middle of your own AI sprawl, let us know how you are handling it.
Yeah, we would love to hear about the meta frameworks you're experimenting with. And hey, if you have been enjoying the show, a quick review on your podcast app or a rating on Spotify really helps us out. It helps more people find these deep dives into the weird and wonderful world of AI.
It really does. You can find us on Spotify and at our website, myweirdprompts.com. We have all our past episodes there and a contact form if you want to send us a prompt of your own. Just try to keep it a little less sketchy than Larry's products, please.
No promises on the sketchiness, Korn, but we will do our best to explore it regardless.
All right, that is a wrap for today. This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks for hanging out with us in Jerusalem.
Until next time, keep your context windows open and your environment variable secret.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
So, Herman, do you think we will ever actually get to a point where the AI just does all of this for us without us having to think about the framework?
We are getting close, Korn. In another year or two, the AI might just be the framework. It will see the sprawl and offer to clean it up for us. But for now, we still have to be the architects.
I guess there is still a job for us humans after all.
At least until the next update.
Fair point. Let's go get some more coffee.
Lead the way.
Fading out. I wonder if Larry's datacent thing can make the kitchen smell like fresh beans.
Fading out? Do not even think about it, Korn. Do not even think about it.
Silence.
Silence.
Whispering. Bye now. This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.